Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory-smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
How are you?
Oh, that's good. That's nice and loud.
I don't mean to be preoccupied with smells. I think a lot of the times in these episodes, they bring up how people smell. And because it's a thing in my, Jackie and I are both like, we try to be
stinky
pleasant
Italians.
Smelling.
No, yeah, you don't try to be pleasant smelling.
I am very pleasant smelling. I'm covered in many liniments and fine creams. All over powders and creams and sprays. But imagining the inside of Billy Myers' arm flap, like what that smells like in that weird Swedish household where the European standards are washing each other.
Yes. All right. Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks. Henry, you are way up in aliens' ass right now.
Oh my God, I'm lost. Yes. I am very much so lost. Today we're discussing the case of Billy Meyer and his many years of contact with the Plejarans. You know them as the Pleiadians.
Actually, I think you know them as the Plejarans.
I hate this shit.
Get ready. Get your nerd alerts out. There's going to be a lot of them. I was, reading over the script that Marcus sent and looking over some information on the internet about Billy Meyer, and my brain has gotten smaller.
There are holes in it.
I am fully confused, and I'm excited to start this episode so we can learn about the tale of Billy Meyer. Many people in the UFO community hate this man because they believe he's a disinfo agent.
Absolutely.
Correct?
You could say the story of Billy Meyer is kind of like a Polish butterfly net.
What the hell does that look like?
Big holes in it.
Oh, I see. All right, let's start the story of Billy Meyer.
So Edward Billy Meyer is a one-armed Swiss UFO collaborator who claims that...
Thank you for using the term collaborator, by the way.
Yeah, he's a collaborator. He claims that he is the sole contactee of a race of aliens from the planet Era. That race is known as the Plejaran. And that is, he does make sure that you must say Plejaran. It's not Plejaran. It's not Pleiadian. It's Plejaran.
But now there is a J in the name.
Yes, but it's Swedish or Swiss, whatever he is.
He's Swiss.
And so they say Plejaran. Yes.
So this guy is sort of the IKEA of UFO, thinkers, in that everything that he touches falls apart.
It took 40 years to build.
Yes.
He has been the recipient of photographs, metal samples, and sound recordings of and from Plejaran spaceships. Over the last 74 years, Billy has had 1,209 personal contacts and 1,241 telepathic contacts with Plejaran extraterrestrials, in addition to extraterrestrials from other planets in the Plejaran Federation, including the Lyrans and the vegans from Vega.
And the vegans from Vega just won't shut up. It's just being like, we know you're from Vega.
Sounds like the world's worst strip club. Vegans from Vega.
That's how you know. It's like, don't worry, you don't have to worry about finding out who's from Vega, they'll tell you.
Yeah,
it's a vegan joke. That's it.
The gin is dry and so is their pussy.
Yes.
Is that a good strip?
And all of the cakes are made out of dates.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And that name, Billy. Billy is not his real name. His real name is Edward. Billy is
spelled in the weird Swiss way, Edward.
Edward. Yeah. Billy is a nickname that was given to him when he was younger by an American who was almost certainly making fun of him, as young Billy was prone to dressing as an Old West cowboy most of the time.
I'm like a loser.
Billy the Kid.
And there's a problem also. He was really into Wild Bill. That's what he said. He viewed him as a sort of idol. So literally, heroes were liars and thieves. And
Bill
he
Hitchcock?
Named himself after them. Yes. And he was a very, it's a weird spotty past. He believed that he was the only person chosen by the Pleiarians to speak to the planet Earth. We're going to go into all of this. It's maybe not real.
You know
and
what?
It breaks my heart.
I am sitting here right now in front of you nude. And I'm going to say that I want to build. I am currently in belief of Billy. I believe all victims, and I believe Billy Meier.
He's not a victim.
He's a victim of the Polarians.
He may very well be victims of several old men in a field that all look like Santa Claus that all wanted to tell him how he was a special little boy.
Right. Giving him strange gifts.
Yeah. His first contact with the Pleiaren came when he was just a 5-year-old boy in the Swiss countryside when he was visited in the middle of the night by an old extraterrestrial Pleiaren humanoid named Svoth.
Svoth. It's important to put all of the letters together in Swiss.
How do you
Svoth.
Spell it? Can we
S F as in father. A is in automatic. T is in twank. And H is in height.
I don't think twank is a word.
Oh, when you meet one, you'll know her.
Okay.
Yeah, so Svoth eventually told Billy that he was the 7th incarnation of the prophet that connects Earth to the Pleiaren people, starting with a guy named Hanak around 11,000 years ago, continuing on through Jesus, a.k.a. Emmanuel, who we'll get to later, and Mohammed, before finally settling on a 5-year-old Swedish boy.
Never tell a Swedish boy you're settling.
No,
you know what I mean?
That's sad.
Just say, like, of course you'd want a Swedish boy. He's got an apple bottom. He's got pudgy knees, big eyes to see everything, and a tiny mouth that's not as easy to reveal secrets.
I feel like you are going into a Stephen King level of,
Oh, we'll talk about this. I just finished rereading Stephen King's It. There is a 5-page, 10-year-old fucking orgy in that book where the girl describes the penis of each one of the boys, and then they come in her.
Yeah, it's like Oliver Stone's JFK sex scene, but with children.
But with children.
But Marcus, I do want to ask, what did this look like? When Billy Meier met with Svoth, what did that actually look like? Was that telepathic?
I can describe it. So he was out by the lake with his father. He was 5 years old. He said he received a special feeling inside of himself that said he needed to look towards the sky. This is his fucking Swedish words. He looked up, a craft darted across the sky, a traditional dish-shaped form.
Mm-hmm.
From that day forth, he saw lights moving around in the sky. He was fascinated with the sky. So eventually, one night in the middle of the night, he is awoken by a sensation, which you hear a lot in alien abductee stories, where they say that they want to go outside for some reason. Mm. He goes outside. There is a glowing pear in the sky that comes around a cloud.
Like a fruit?
Like a fruit, yes. Or like Dom DeLuise's body.
Oh, I see. Love Dom.
Chris Christie's body.
Oh, my goodness. Don't like him.
It landed. An adult man with a full-grown beard comes out named Svoth and says, "Let us sit and speak," and they speak to each other telepathically. He tells young, not Billy, Edward at the time, that he is a special little boy that was created by the Pleiarens in order to advance their work. Fuck that. They're from Pleiades, too, so technically, that's the thing, what I don't like about the story is that he needs to be specific so it sounds super real,
right.
But it's just like, we all know it's the Pleiadians. They say it's from the fucking Pleiadians. They call it the Seven Sisters.
I heard it was the Pleiadians.
No, it's not. I just hate it when they do that and they say it's like, know. No, it's actually Pleiarens, and it's like, because that makes it more real. Or when people say UFO instead of UFO, it drives me nuts.
Right. They get caught up in semantics.
Yeah,
not the truth.
Yes, I hate that shit. And so Svoth told him, when he was a special little boy, that there were actually 4 other little boys that were created and that were supposed to serve this task, but he was the one 5-year-old that was chosen who said yes.
Because
the other ones, 2 of them died in a car crash in one go. That is true. And then one is just somewhere.
Yeah, how did they lose track of the one? All right. Okay. So that's okay. Thank you for that backstory. Yes. So that's how they met. They were, and his poor father was just like, I don't think I got a good kid.
It's like, thank God. I am just glad that my son's got a brand new father.
So over the next 10 years, Svoth would communicate to Billy through electronically induced hypnosis. Mm. He would communicate what Billy called, quote unquote, important data on many fields of knowledge, including humanities, history, creation, facts, etc., which he would need to learn and retain. And Spoth told Billy that due to this process, by the time Billy was 7, he had the intellect and emotional understanding of a 35-year-old man.
And as I read that, as a 35-year-old man, Billy's an idiot.
Yes.
He's an idiot at 7, and he's an idiot at 35.
Also, it does seem like the reasoning of like why it was okay for Woody Allen to marry his daughter.
Yeah, she had the mind of a 35-year-old.
So mature. Also, he's been spending all his time alone in a giant pear-shaped glowing room with a man looking like Santa Claus telling him special stuff about how he's a special boy. He grew up fast. Wink, 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 wink. In a molest.
Yes, it
sounds, I want to say a molest.
It sounds disturbing.
But we were also going to, well, we left out a part of this in this little world of information. I mean, no, Marcus.
Yeah, I was about to say, please, Henry, fill in the fucking blanks on this one.
So one thing I will say is that he wrote an 1,800-page series of documentation of all of these visitations called the Contact Reports that he wrote over a period of time. When he was, we're going to get into when he was reached out to by Wendell Scott, who was a real UFO researcher that got caught in fucking Billy Myers' fucking net, right? His Polish butterfly net.
Right.
That he knew a priest named Father Zimmerman. He didn't want to tell his parents. He knew a priest. Lovely. He's an innocent man.
Oh, yeah, was he?
Absolutely. Of
priest,
course.
Father Zimmerman?
Wait, he knew a priest named Father Zimmerman and he didn't want his parents to know about his interactions with the priest?
That seems interesting.
With the priest and the other old man that he used to go meet in a field. And so he went to this priest and told him, there is a man speaking to me in my brain named Spoth who's telling me all this information about the earth and things that are going to happen in the future. And Father Zimmerman says, I understand what you're talking about. That's called telepathy. Don't tell anyone we're having these conversations. And this is true. He's like, but you have to understand that you're experiencing something very special. You're a little boy. Little boys.
He's 5 years old. Yeah, Henry is currently touching me just to make the effect really feel.
You little boys, like you sometimes, it's like you can get physical telepathy because that just goes right up inside your
mind. Don't touch me.
I'm sorry. He touches his elbows. Ooh, you see, can get a little Swedish boy. His fucking eyes big, just dewy with wetness, staring at this priest. And he's like, yes. And so, but there's also a thing called spiritual telepathy, which is a deeper understanding. And that's what you have to let this come. Let it come inside you. And that's what he kept saying. And Father Zimmerman like kind of opened up to him, said it was okay, and explained to him that he was being prepped by aliens as well to help Billy understand himself within the story. Of the Plagiarans.
I gotta say this. There is something about molesters. They can find a way to get there.
So smart.
You know, the kid came with a problem with aliens. That kid could have come in and been like, I think I'm having too many sugary snacks at lunch.
She's like, we gotta start working out.
You know, they can always pivot.
You gotta come by my shack. I have all these kettlebells.
Isn't that crazy?
It's also kind of like when you go on a date with like somebody and you have to pretend to be interested in the fact that they felt like they were born to be a bluesman. And you have to go like, yes, interesting.
That is
very
interesting.
Good. Yeah. But they're always wrong. They're always his name's like Brett.
He
doesn't understand sadness.
Yeah. If you're out there on a date with, if you're a gal on a date with Brett right now, just, you know, make sure he pays.
The other possible scenario was that Father Zimmerman and a fucking dude named Svoth, I'm pretty certain Father Zimmerman's first name is George.
George?
The fucking Swedish version
sounds
of George
like a curler.
And then I imagine what happened is that Father Zimmerman tells him that it's okay to talk to aliens, and then you have another old man who's just coming out of a field with a cart with a bunch of Christmas lights wrapped around it, and it's fucking molest season.
Mm-hmm. And then Father Zimmerman winks at him. He's like, tell him you're the alien.
I'm the alien?
Yes, you're the alien.
Oof, I love the role play. Ooh, I am as hard as a Gibraltar rock right now.
So, Billy, because of all this type of stuff that's going on, all this telepathy, this electronically induced hypnosis, he would eventually have the highest degree of spiritual evolution of any human being on Earth. And that is why Billy is the only person out of 7 billion humans who is allowed to speak to the Plagiaran, who is allowed to speak to them, who's allowed to see them, who's allowed to communicate with them telepathically. They will only communicate with the most highly evolved being on this planet for no other reason I can figure out other than just a bunch of snobby dickheads.
Well, so, if you were...
yeah, hold on. Go. They're just a bunch of snobby dickheads?
Snobby dickheads. I'm saying, the fucking Plagiaran. They're all just a bunch of snobby dickheads. Oh, I'm only going to talk to the most highly spiritually evolved being
on
the planet.
But they made it that way. They molested him to be that way.
They're talking to a dumpy Swissman who shits cheese. I mean, how is, this is not, I don't know how snobby they are.
They could have chosen anybody.
Well, they're not talking to me.
Well, that's because you're on your medication.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They knew you would go on podcasts, and they can't have all the information spread too fast. But he has said that, too. Apparently, that's what the Plagiarans actual... You going to correct me?
You want to correct him? Correct him.
Plagiarans.
Okay.
Correct the record.
Oh,
we're just telling the truth here, Henry. You're getting it wrong, and Marcus is correcting the record.
It's like there's like veins moving into my eyeballs.
Yeah, that's good.
They say that they said they're having too many speaking for the Plagiarans all at once. I cannot say it.
It's
fine. It's the last time. I'm not going to do it anymore. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. That
Polarian.
You're
it's Polarian.
Dolce. But they said that having too many speakers all at once would spoil the broth. And they also said that it takes time.
They use that analogy?
Yes.
They actually use that analogy.
They literally have it in the writing. They say, like, as a term that you humans use all the time, I've heard that sometimes too many cooks spoil a stew.
It's almost like it was written by a human being.
No way.
Now let's learn a little bit more about these Plagiaran peoples. They look much like us with minor anatomical differences that are never quite specified, or ones that I've never actually been. Henry, have you found out what those minor anatomical differences are?
No, I think they just said that to him because it was all like something to cover the molesting.
I think they all look like Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She does have an alien look about her.
That's what I'm saying. Light on the bottom, heavy on the top.
The female version that he's talking to, her name is Asket. You're going to find that later on after Svoth dies somehow for some fucking reason.
Now you're just giving away all the plot points.
You're giving away the plot points. It's Polarians. So you need to get this right, Henry. It's rare that I am the expert here. And I'm taking over the mantle. I'm sorry. This is how you win.
It's like when you go to Starbucks and when they say large and they, do you mean venti?
No, I mean a large.
I want the big one.
I just go in and I say the biggest one possible.
Yeah.
But every restaurant I go to, I say, give me the biggest thing of whatever I want.
And they're like, you are just so funny. Oh, so that Asket looks sort of like, do you remember in Total Recall when Arnold Schwarzenegger is having sex with Sharon Stone, but she turns out to be evil, and he chooses his, the woman, his dream woman.
The Mars woman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, what's her name? The woman who's kind of square-shaped?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I don't know her name.
What's her name? Not Benicio del Toro.
That's a man.
No, but it's the female version of the
Benicio
man.
Benicio del Toro is the female of Benicio del Toro?
Her name is like...
I don't think that's how it works.
The one that goes 2 weeks. That one?
The woman...
You know what, Marcus? I want you to take control right now.
She looks like the female version of the Heart from Captain Planet.
Okay, that works.
Rachel Tocotin.
How is anyone supposed to know that reference, Henry?
Yeah, how's he supposed to know?
I don't know.
Rachel Tocotin movie.
I'm just saying, it's a very. She's a very pan-ethnic looking woman.
It was the worst description I have ever heard in my life.
Well, besides them having those minor anatomical differences, they also live for about 1,000 years, have a population of about 120 billion spread across their federation, and are all Nordic looking.
Well, apparently there are two types. There are two universes that we exist in: the Dao universe and the Dal universe, and both of which are filled with human-like creatures. There are actually very few creatures that are not human-like because we all come from the same base society from millions and millions of years ago, and we're all seed races.
So it's Dal and Dal.
Dal and Dal.
Dal and Dal.
Yes.
And what separates us from each other?
A fraction of a second.
A fraction of a second.
See, Era, the Plagiaran homeworld, is a fraction of a second shifted from our own dimension.
See?
Yeah. See? Yeah, it's a fraction.
No, it's all making sense now.
Do you get it? Like, they're just like a fraction of a second in the future, so therefore, they're in a different dimension. You see how that works?
Butterfly effect.
Yes.
See?
I do believe you misspoke, though. It's Plagiarian.
Thank you.
So even though they're from a different dimension, the Plagiarans and Earthlings descend from a common ancestor. Originally, there were 40,353,607 different human races in 343 different skin colors.
Taupe. Less than taupe.
Right.
Onyx. Mocha. Crusty underwear.
Argyle.
Argyle?
Argyle is a pattern, though.
No, I was thinking argyle or arugula.
Pistachio. Thank you very much. It's called pistachio.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Oh, and just so you know, apes actually descended from human beings,
see?
Not the other way around, although Billy Meyer never really actually gets into how that actually happened.
So then apes would be more advanced than us, theoretically, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Fraction of a second.
I don't know. I believe this man.
The problem with all of this is Billy never really goes into detail.
I don't think it's because it's all horseshit.
No way.
It's difficult. No, I believe Billy.
Well, he goes into high detail about the conversations that he has about, say, spirituality, okay. The universal teachings of spirit that they talk about. They say the teachings of the spirit. That's why they're here. They're here to tell us all about how we can become higher beings.
See?
I love it.
I'm become just higher saying, beings see? And like neutralize the negative effects of like religion. You know?
Totally.
Like that's what they're there. Even though, you know, their main contacts in the last 2,000 years have been Jesus and Muhammad, they're still like, nah, nah, nah. Organized religion is bad. There are ways that we can get towards the center of the universe of love together, having fun with Plejarans.
With Plejarans. I'm wondering.
It's now, clear as day.
Clear
no,
as
I
day.
Do. I actually kind of love it because he wants to take the violence out of religion, which is really the major problem that all of us have with organized religion. It gets corrupted and used by governments to kill one another.
This is my question, though.
I have a question. All right. Did he ever actually pivot and try to become sort of a cult leader type? Or was he just, did he never have enough?
No, you don't, this is the end of the story, is that Michael Horn, his PR man that comes on later online, who does all his website design, he does theyfly.com. This is my question. If the Plejaran keep making profits that make horrible religions, why do they keep doing that?
I don't, they're you just got to go back and fix what you broke.
Do you think that's literally the definition of an insanity?
Actually, they can go back and fix. I mean, they can time travel, too. But
they can do whatever they want.
So they're just doing this
Butters
on purpose?
Billy Myers got pictures of pterodactyls.
Yeah, and so let's come back to young Billy Meyer and Svoth, who went on many a magical adventure together. Henry, do you have any examples of the many magical adventures that young Billy and Svoth went on?
Henry looks thoroughly exhausted already.
It really does make me sad because I love UFOs. I believe in UFOs. I think there's a lot of stuff out there to support contact from aliens. I think that the abductee stories are real. Billy Meyer takes away from it. But the thing is, I just think Billy Meyer spent 10 years get molested in a Swedish shack.
No.
By a man dressed as Santa Claus.
No, you don't remember that story where they went and met Gandhi?
No. They did. They went and they met Gandhi.
Uh-huh.
He met the king.
What did Gandhi say to them?
He said, oh, bring me a sandwich.
That's where we get those. The show is a little racist.
No,
comments on iTunes.
That's not racist.
Ben Kingsley was a white man who played Gandhi in a film, and he won an Oscar for it.
And that's Gandhi true. Was hungry much of the time.
Bring me a sandwich, maybe a pizza. Thank you.
Sounds a little bit again Jamaican. Everything
Gandhi.
Always ends up in Jamaica.
But he saw Gandhi. He met the king of Egypt, who was very tall. He was molested about 1,000 times. And he went and learned weather stripping.
Mm-hmm. He met Saddam Hussein.
He did.
Saddam Hussein, but they met each other when they were 22 years old. And Saddam Hussein said that he was a thug at the time, and he was a part of a bunch of roving gangs. He was kind of like in West Side Story, and he was Danny Zuko.
Ooh, cool. I love a young Saddam. Yeah. Handsome
That's Greece
man.
As well. That's Greece.
Yeah. So unfortunately, Svoth reached Billy at the end of his 1,000-odd years, and the old alien died in 1953. And Billy, now a teenager, then came under the care of a young humanoid woman from the doll system named Asket. Multi-ethnic Asket.
Like the chick from Total Recall. What's her name again?
She looks like a woman.
Rachel Ticotin.
Rachel Ticotin.
Rachel Ticotin.
Like it's Oscara de la Hoya. It's like the female version of a male
Oscar
name.
Oscar de la Hoya?
No, her name's like Sara Aranya.
No, it's totally Rachel Ticotin.
It's just Rachel. We found the name.
It's Maria de la Huente.
I'm staring at her right now. Her IMDb calls her one tough cookie. Who can hold her own.
She wrote that.
She did not. She's a great actress.
Yeah, Asket also just sort of looks like a woman that worked at a record store. She's like a little too cool.
So now this is a real woman, though. We can...
No.
No, she's not real.
No, in our sense of real.
In Billy Meyer's sense, she is real. She is the guide. She is his contact between the Plejarans and Billy himself.
So it's a make-em-up.
Well,
so if he's on a date with her, there's no one sitting across from him.
Yeah, we'd see her, but she just, you know.
She's kind of there in the way that your grandfather's always looking out for you. You know what I mean?
Just don't even
like
understand.
Even though from heaven, he's looking out for
you.
No,
she is a physical being.
I can touch her.
You could touch her.
Okay, I could shake her hand and say, good to meet you. Here, I am Ben.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, you absolutely could. These people do exist. Okay. However, they do not have any contact with any of us.
Because we're not worthy, because we're not one of the most evolved human beings on the face of the planet.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah. And it And also, it's kind of weird that, you know, when he was a little kid, he had an old man hanging around with him all the time. But then once he hit puberty, all of a sudden, it's a hot chick just fucking taking him around the universe.
Yeah, you get the feeling the old man no longer had a use for him, which is really sad.
Yeah. Like he was a fucking stiff mop.
So, Billy actually lived quite the interesting life as a young man, if his biography is to be believed. He went to prison for assault twice.
See, this is the problem, is that he has a lot of these stories where he did go to prison two times, he joined the French Legion, and then abandoned it by walking through a desert, just left it in the middle of it. He said he couldn't find his place in life. He ended up in Turkey, where he was a hitman for the government known as the Phantom. Did he write that?
No.
Oh, I don't.
He said that the Turkish government hired him to hunt serial killers in Turkey. He became known as the Phantom. And then everywhere he went, people knew him as the Phantom. And he has a series of headshots of him with an Arabic, like, sort of like weird, I'm not gonna say, it's a scarf on his head, and it's him like just like posing in front of various places in front of the king's guards. This is where he also believes that Ascot is taking him to visit several different leaders of every country in the world, where they've already been briefed that he's the new messiah, and they met each other and they took pictures, but those pictures got burned in a fire.
Of course.
Don't know where those pictures are, and that's true as well. Then he went back in the past and took pictures of pterodactyls, so, and he has them.
So he deserted from the Legion. He went back to Switzerland and was institutionalized for 2 years. After his release, he, of course, did the whole assassin thing for a while until he ended up in the Middle East and started work as a day laborer. And there is where he met a priest named Isa Rashid in 1963.
Okay, so we have these things. Now, is there documentation of him getting arrested twice? Is that real?
I mean, there's no documentation.
This would be documented, correct?
There is no proof that this man existed. I don't even know if it's his real name. I don't know that none of it's backed up. It's all just his life. It's all based on his stories.
Right.
This was also like back in the day where I guess the records were loose and you could kind of just roll in and out of places and just kind of show up and give a fake name. And he's calling himself Billy.
I'm just looking to solidify one fact of this person's life.
You can't.
I mean, we could maybe start with the Talmud of Emmanuel.
Because that kind of burnt in a fire.
All right, well, let's hear about that.
So Billy Meyer and his friend, a former priest named Isa Rashid, they discovered the Talmud of Jemanuel. Spelled Jemmanuel. The Pelagians were very insistent that Jemanuel be spelled exactly that way, Jemmanuel, and they were so insistent that Billy always makes a point to say that the Pleiarans were insistent that he spell it that way.
Why don't they like vowels?
Jemanuel.
They cost money.
Oh, I see. They're going with the Wheel of Fortune method?
Yes. Okay. It's kind of like me, Tomas, Jemanuel.
I see.
Man.
All right.
Is it Emmanuel or Jemanuel?
It's Emmanuel.
Jemanuel?
Jemanuel. It is Emmanuel because the point, it's the Hebrew spelling. It's like when you learned, I believe it's in, is it Temple of Doom? When he's going through the...
That's Last Crusade.
Last Crusade, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade, when he's going through and he's just like, you will bow before Emmanuel. I believe he said that. And he was just like, he's on the E, he's like, it's spelled with a J. And then it goes down to the knee. And that's how I learned that fact.
And I do want to say, Henry said that to us before the podcast, and both Marcus and I were like, what the hell are you talking about?
I am lost.
No, it makes sense now. I get it the second time around.
Yeah. So anyway, while on an afternoon stroll in Jerusalem, Billy and Isa discovered a small hole in the ground that had somehow been overlooked for 2,000 years. After getting a funny feeling about it.
He always gets a funny feeling.
He gets a lot of funny feelings. He started digging into the hole a little further and discovered an abandoned tomb. And contained within, hidden under a large flat rock, was a package containing four separate scrolls covered with Aramaic writings. These scrolls would come to be known as the Talmud of Emmanuel.
These were a secret chapter of the Bible.
I'm going to rebrand them the Dickweed Papers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these scrolls were actually written by Judas Iscariot on behalf of Emmanuel, a.k.a. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christo. Oh. Truth is, it was not Judas Iscariot who was the betrayer of Jesus.
Yeah, you idiot. You were wrong the whole time. You fucking moron.
Totally. In fact, the two were like best buddies.
Yeah, you
fucking
dummy.
I'm
going to
say we are all falling into roast mode right now. We are
no, that, best buddies. They loved each other. Actually, it wasn't Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus. It was Judah Harry.
Yeah, you fucking moron. Get your shit straight. You shouldn't be allowed to have kids. You've been wrong for so long.
And Ted Bundy wasn't the killer. It was a guy named Ted Glumby.
It's Glumby.
And everyone knows Glumby did it.
Tell the jury they're wrong.
Tell the jury they're wrong.
Yeah, although it is quite the coincidence that Jesus was, you know, betrayed by a man who had almost the same name as his best friend.
I feel bad for Judas now.
Absolutely. It is a coincidence. Yeah. Like crazy.
And that was Judas's last words were, Glumby did it.
But what the Talmud of Emmanuel proves, if it is in fact real and you take the Bible as truth as well, is that Bible stories were a hell of a lot more alien-based than the church has led us to believe.
That would be so fucking cool if that was true.
That would be so actually, cool. I mean, this is fairly common in alien lore, right?
I got a whole book about it. It's called Extraterrestrials in the Bible.
It's boring.
Right. Yeah, it's boring as shit.
But, well, that means it's real.
Yes, exactly. That's either you make it specific and boring.
Yeah, and this is the Talmud of Emmanuel's version of the baptism of Jesus by St. John the Baptist in the River Jordan.
Who had antennas? Chapter 3. When Emmanuel had been baptized, he soon came out of the water of the Jordan, and behold, a metallic light dropped from the sky and descended deeply over the Jordan. Consequently, they fell on their faces and pressed them into the sand, while a voice from the metallic light spoke, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He will be the king of truth who will lift the human race to knowledge." Behold, after these words, Emmanuel entered into the metallic light, which climbed into the sky, surrounded by fire and smoke, and passed over the lifeless sea. As the singing of the metallic light soon faded away, after that, Emmanuel was no longer seen for 40 days and nights.
You sound like an IBM computer eating a mayonnaise and tomato sandwich.
That's the idea.
I don't know why, but I'm just, that's a classic sound.
So where did Emmanuel or Emmanuel, let's go with Emmanuel.
I like Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. So where did Emmanuel go for those 40 days and 40 nights? Well, the Talmud says that Emmanuel, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, was actually cruising around the stars on a UFO learning the ways of the universe.
Damn.
Having Silver a rad slip. Fucking month.
Yeah, so just like, sometimes it's nice to be Jesus.
Sometimes you just gotta ride along.
And Meyer, he doesn't just have the Talmud of Emmanuel to back this up. Following his discovery, Askett, mm-hmm. the Pleiaran handler, took Billy back in time to meet and hang out with Emmanuel for 4 days. Cool. And if you're wondering how Pleiaran time travel works, mm-hmm. Meyer states, in short,
if tachyons with a higher light speed than of those in normal space and the present of the material universe in any given hyperspace is stored around a flying object, it is automatically flung into the past, while a Cronin flow below our present speed of light results in a trip to the future.
God, the Swiss sound like they're speaking in italics. it's frustrating.
And that is total nonsense.
No, that's just bare bones.
That's
bare bones. It sounds like nonsense to me or you, but Billy actually, he doesn't know how it works.
See, it's not about, you can't hand the details to the guy who's the front man.
Yeah.
Fucking David Lee Roth doesn't know how the speakers work. He's just there to rock.
That's right, and jump.
Yeah, because if Billy did know how it worked.
He'd be all weighed down with fucking horseshit all day long.
No, dude, he'd get kidnapped. He'd get kidnapped and forced to use his time travel knowledge for evil rather than good. Yeah.
So ignorance is saving him in this situation.
Oh, yeah, it's a plausible deniability, Ben. You know all about that.
Of course.
Yeah, always be like, president. What? With who?
With what?
Where?
I always say that. If someone's about to tell me important information, I say, whoa, 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 whoa. Plausible deniability. Tell it to Henry.
I love secrets. But he said, too, is that he wasn't really responsible. He was very responsible about time travel because he said that he'll talk about going to the past where he hung out with dinosaurs, but he won't talk about the future because he doesn't want people to know about how there's a difference between prophecy and prediction.
Is it because he didn't read a book about the future because we don't know what it's going to look like yet, and so he won't be accurate?
No way!
Is it possible?
But he said there's a difference between prediction and prophecy. Prophecy is this idea that he doesn't want to tell people what could be happening in the future because prophecy is still in a flux state. Is that possibly we can change what's going on, especially if it's really bad, like World War III or Super 8s. We'll talk about Super 8s. And then he does say, though, predictions are solid and are going to happen, and there's no point in telling people what's going to definitely going to happen, because then you're just going to make people all sad.
So, after the meeting with Jemmanuel, Billy left the Middle East and spent a year in India, where he took his first photographs of Pleiaran spaceships, or as they call them, beam ships.
As he calls them, beam ships, and you know why?
Why?
Billy Edward
Albert Meyer.
Billy Edward Albert Meyer.
Is it Albert?
All I know
is it Angus?
I just saw A.
Yeah.
Billy Edward Albert Meyer.
He named the spaceships after himself.
After himself, yeah. Billy, I want to believe you, Billy. Just give me one reason to.
Beam. They called me Beam.
It's because they're beam ships, and they would not be called the beam ships if it wasn't for me to find.
Okay. So they're beam ships, which actually kind of works. I mean, it's a good acronym.
It does
kind of
work. I mean, Henry, what did he do in India? Did he do anything besides just take some fuzzy pictures there?
She showed up at an ashram in India when he told them, they called him the spaceman. He come in and he said that he was talking to aliens.
And by the way, they call him the spaceman. He's a Swedish dude dressed as a cowboy.
Yes. So,
that is
what you want.
He is dressed like an alien trying to fit in.
You will literally find five of those guys in a hostel in Midtown New York.
Oh, totally. They're like, I mean, if you were an alien and you're coming to Earth, you choose an accent, you choose a look, and you choose an outfit. I mean, it was like, we're going with a Swiss accent. We're going to be a man. He's going to be straight. He's going to dress like a cowboy.
He literally just threw darts at a
There's
wheel.
There's no way
of
they're not
going to
think he's a humanoid.
But he went to the ashram, and that was where he started taking pictures of UFOs.
Right.
And the one thing that Billy Meyer is incredibly famous for. If you have gotten this far and know anything about Billy Meyer, he's famous for his actual footage of these beam ships. Mm-hmm. And so he started in India, and they're all very fuzzy, and very spicy.
It is spicy, but I did watch some of those videos. Now, when it comes to alien footage, there isn't much good stuff out there. They're not horrible, right?
They're completely fake.
But now, how did he fake them?
A guy named Phil Langdon did all of them again on his YouTube page. He just went, literally, they're miniatures. It is a piece of spruce that is put far away from the camera, and then another tiny little airplane thing. He put it on like a wire, so it was a hard pendulum type thing, and he kind of spun it around a tiny little tree. He's like, what's his name? Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice.
So the whole India thing, that as far as I can tell, when he took the pictures of him, is the last contact that Billy would have with the Pleiarans for 11 years. Do we know why the break happened?
Seems what happened is that during this time period, he was on a bus leaving India, going to Cleveland?
I feel like that's exactly where you go on a bus.
And how he says is that he was like, it was a warm day. Oh, I wanted to feel what it would be like if my hand was a cloud. And he stuck his hand. I'm bad at this accent.
It's a good accent. No.
He stuck his hand out of a bus, and apparently a drunk driver across from him on another bus who was driving that bus, who was hammered, slammed in his bus. The bus flipped. And he lost his arm in the accident. And then apparently he was wandering the desert for months.
Without the hand.
Without arm and stuff like that. He said he was delirious. And then he said this thing on this documentary I watched called, I believe it was called The Silent Revolution of Truth from UFO TV. And he talked about how, he's like, in that time period, I learned that you cannot face your regrets, and you're going to do actions that are going to be against your nature, but you're supposed to learn from them. Alluding that he did fucked up shit.
Yeah, he did horrible things without a hand, which makes him more horrifying entirely.
Because think about how good at fiddling you gotta be if you only got one hand.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So he's through the desert. We have 11 years. Who's just doing criminal activity to get by?
It seems like he was just scamming around, but I think that's what he did for forever. I think that he was a low-level criminal for a long time. I think we're looking at... He's sort of like the UFO version of Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Where he's a guy who lived on a lie. He married a woman named Calliope that he met. He said because every alien in the world that he was talking to said that he was going to meet this woman named Calliope. They were going to get married and they were going to give birth to the next generation of philosophers or some bullshit. And this was going to be a love that lasted a lifetime. They got divorced 10 years later because he was beating her.
He's not a good person.
No.
Billy Meier isn't a good person. I was on his side.
No,
and
Billy,
I'm against him.
No, Billy Meier is a real big piece of shit. We're gonna get more into that.
Let's get into it.
So 9 years later, in 1975, 9 years after he married Calliope, the Pelyarans came back into Billy's life for good.
Now it seems like they came back into his life just because, like, he found a way to make money off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, and also it kind of coincided with his divorce just a little bit.
Weird.
Yeah, he suddenly had a lot more time on his hand.
This dude's a schizo, right?
So on January 28th, 1975, Billy was visited by an extraterrestrial named Simjasi.
Simjase.
Pajorian.
Plajarian.
Simjase, who was the granddaughter of Billy's first handler, Sfath.
Yeah, and he was quite a handler. Yeah.
Oh, right. Leave it alone.
And along with Simjase came Ptah, Playa, and Quetzal, who claimed that he was also the famed Quetzalcoatl of Aztec lore.
And one named Sherlockwa, who said that he was of the famed Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
from
interesting.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, and over the years, Billy would meet many an alien whose names would increasingly get more and more bizarre as time went on, as if he was running out of stuff to tell people and couldn't come up with anything better.
I love these
It sounds
names,
like he was just rhyming the food that he was eating. Quetzal sounds like pretzel.
Pretzel, yeah, he's looking at whatever food's around.
Yeah, you're going to be Omato.
In addition to all of those, there was Andron, Zeltan, the spirit guides Melchora, Erlana, and Jasowan. There was Fetanika, Nefratisa, Cladina A. Karine, Zerula, Zeruel, Zeruala, Zeawadon, and Zafentakpenech.
They all sound like prescription drugs.
They do.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, yeah, those were throughout the years. And they really did. As they went on and on and on, they got weirder and weirder and weirder because he was, of course, running out of shit to talk about.
It's got
to
be a very stressful morning. He wakes up. He's like, I got to come up with a new fake name every damn day.
Well, you can also just, again, like a cult leader, he has to continue the storyline or else he's not going to be able to sell more stuff. He's not going to be able to keep people in a circle. So in 1975, that's when this man named Wendell Stevens showed up and said, I'm going to bust open this case. And it was originally the Billy Meier story was really small. He just showed up and he said that I've been taking pictures of UFOs. I have all this documentation, and they talked to me. And eventually it grew to include the Tao and the Dahl universe and the many different levels of existence and his philosophical writings that we're going to hear about now.
Yep, the contact reports, as they're called. These are supposedly transcribed conversations that Billy Meier has with various aliens. Races. To date, there are 26 published volumes of contact reports, though they are only officially published in German under the name Pleiadisch Pleiarisch Kontaktberichte.
Is that real?
It sounds horrifying.
Did you get a good pronunciation on that?
Yeah. Pleiadisch Pleiarisch Kontaktberichte. That's how I took German for a couple of years. I don't know what that means because I forgot all of it.
I think it means it's Plejarin, or is it Pleiarin? Contact a Bible stickle stickle.
Okay.
And these discussions, which are reportedly highly detailed, deal with such subjects as spirituality, the afterlife, the dangers of mainstream religions, human history, overpopulation, and of course, prophecies. And
he still uses mainstream religion as the catalyst for most of his theologic thought, right?
So, well, it's more of like the broad-based Christian shit of like everyone needs to understand everybody and you treat people how you treat yourself, and it's more about weird philosophical things. But it's all vague. None of it's specific, except for later on when he had direct transmissions. You're going to see on the website theyfly.com, he came out and said stuff about like marriage advice, dieting advice, all sorts of fun little tidbits out there, and also how to take care of your pet.
But in theory, he wanted to be a deity, right? I mean, he wanted to be seen as a god, but he just was never special enough to be killed.
The opposite, Kissel, is that he didn't want to ever be that important. Yes, he wanted to sell books.
Are you sure?
Yes, he's the only person allowed to speak to these aliens, but he didn't want that.
I don't know.
He wanted none of this. It was forced upon him.
Oh, I
sometimes,
see.
Sometimes, Ben, greatness is forced upon a man. And well, Billy Meier is that man.
Well, then go to the police. It's not right.
So Billy's most enduring prophecy involves his repeated and shifting prediction of the coming of World War III. So far, the date has come and gone at least five times, with the last happening 5 years ago when Billy said that four world leaders would die within 7 days of each other, kicking off World War III 2 years after that. And, of course, that's just one of the dozens of prophecies Billy and the Pleiarans have foretold. Henry, what are some of the other weird prophecies?
Well, they said apparently they predicted the Russians were going to attack Afghanistan, the Ringo Afghanistan. They predicted that. They predicted, the World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah, they all predicted. Everyone saw that one coming,
apparently. They also
said
that we were going to be in two wars based out of Iraq under a president that was a son of a former president, so that was accurate. But what was weird is a lot of times with these predictions is that the Bajorans specifically tell Billy that he cannot release his predictions until after it happens.
Oh, I see. So what you just told me, which I was actually kind of impressed by, is total dog shit.
No.
Because he said it in hindsight.
He
protocol. They are predictable.
No, but did he
because
really,
Wendell
did
Stevens, the UFO researcher that was involved in all this, said that he was accidentally released some information that he wasn't supposed to print out. So he's read beforehand some secret information that we're not supposed to know what specifically it was that he read, but he read it before it was supposed to be released. And so he said it's real.
Mm-hmm. So the guy has a loose understanding of U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of based it, but he didn't come up with these conclusions in the 70s before they actually happened.
Plagiarins.
Yeah, Billy says that all of the prophecies are actually converging now, saying that the aliens told him that the Earth itself is actually a consciousness hologram that is in the process of evolving.
Cool.
Everything is myth, math, and metaphor following patterns of sacred geometry.
Well, he still doesn't have a hand.
Yeah, yeah, get a new hand and then let's talk. Whatever. Once you grow, if he grows a new arm, he's right.
Sure.
So besides just transcribed conversations, Billy also has what he claims to be hard evidence of his contacts with the Pleiaren. He has some very interesting metal, for one, which scientists who examined it have called it, quote unquote, odd.
But this is the problem, though, is that he also says that they don't trust scientists because they'll say anything to fulfill their egos.
Yeah.
Yes.
The egos of the scientists who are constantly proven wrong every single day of their lives and they constantly search for the truth.
Can't trust a scientist.
You can't trust a scientist.
Never a straight answer.
Oh, I see.
No, that's the thing about Billy Meyer. He's got the metal. It is, quote unquote, odd, but the thing that he's best known for.
But he won't produce it all the time. Well, it's sitting somewhere.
Sometimes he'll bring it out, sometimes he won't. It all depends on what kind of mood he's in.
He also has an apple in a jar that he says from an alien. It's from an alien greenhouse, but he says it's different than the other kind of apple.
They're just creating apples?
He said it's from an alien greenhouse.
I would believe it if I bit into it and it was a watermelon. That's the only way I would believe it was an alien apple.
And still, that's just GMOs.
Sounds good, actually. A watermelon apple. Make it happen, scientists.
He also has a piece of quartz that he said he found in the tomb of Jemmanuel that is supposed to be, that was given to Jesus, because that's a part of the alternative storyline of Jesus Christ, is that he never died on the cross. He actually was put to sleep by aliens into a coma. Then he was put into a tomb where he was taken by Indian healers, where he went to India to train everybody how to listen to the Buddha.
If you're Jesus, that's just so much more difficult than being hung on the cross. So
seem like you doubt everything.
I do think the scientist looked at the metal and then looked at Billy Meyer and then they said, odd. But they were talking about Billy Meyer, not the metal. I think it's just metal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is just kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure like a metallurgist gave it, like just kind of mixed a bunch of shit together and said, here you go. Go have fun. So the thing is that Billy is best known for, besides the metal, is his photographs. Please, if you have the ability right now, please just open your browser and Google Billy Meyer photographs and see these things for yourself. Henry, could you please describe the Billy Meyer photographs?
If Lenny from A Vice of Men was trying to tell the story of Scientology.
Well, Lenny had a certain intelligence in his own right.
Yes, and it was like one of their things. So he has this thing. There's a famous one is the wedding cake UFO, which is this UFO has got a bunch of balls on the side of it, and he took a bunch of pictures. He said it landed in his front yard. It's obviously held it in front of his camera, and he took a picture in front of his house. The wedding cake UFO, they say, is far too precisely made for any human to ever put these balls in such alignment on the sides of this UFO. You know what you use? A ruler. It's literally a ruler.
Let's think about your choice of words there for a second, Henry. Held a model out in front of him. The authenticity of these photographs have been challenged, but some say that even the possibility of them being faked can't even be entertained, as there's no way that these photos, even if they are faked, could be faked by a man with one arm.
Put it on the table!
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm just gonna, you know, tie it to a squirrel. You know, figure it out.
Anything else. We built the pyramids, maybe. And if we did, without the help of aliens...
Yeah.
That was really difficult.
I mean, I'm just sad, though. This guy could have been one of those really fun creative directors. What was the director that Johnny Depp played in that film? The worst.
Oh, Ed Wood.
Ed Wood. He seems like an Ed Wood type.
Yeah.
He could have been a really... If he was born in Los Angeles or in America, I think he would have gone to Hollywood.
He probably would have. I mean, these are pretty kick-ass models.
They are great.
They
I
are
just
really
looked
cool.
At them.
And I like the simplicity of the UFOs. I think they're really cool. But my problem, again, with all of this proof being fake, obviously fake, Phil Langdon, you're looking his YouTube page, he redid all the pictures. He just did it. He was like, this is how you do it. And he did it with his arm tied around his back to show that a man could do it with one arm. He was pissed off.
Well, I think that's cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And that's
thank
not
you for
appropriate.
Being sensitive.
Yes.
But the problem is that it does take away from the whole argument for UFOs altogether. And I don't think it's necessarily disinformation, but this guy is a great tool for the government if they are trying to dispel any sort of rumors about alien life or secret ships that look like this.
No, but I think it's good. But I think it's also good to have examples of fraud in order to prove when it is actually something real.
But it just makes Stanton Friedman scream at a higher pitch, and that makes everything look more ludicrous.
Stanton Friedman needs to be upset once a day, or he's going to die.
His pants are getting higher and higher. He's like his pants are quicksand, and he's a traveler in Africa.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of Stanton Friedman, him and Jacques Vallée, they ain't believing this guy one bit.
No.
They don't believe in him.
Yeah, and if you ask me to side with anyone in the UFO community but Stanton Friedman, I'm going to tell you to go straight to hell.
Go straight to hell, Whoa. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, because I'm on Stanton's side. I'm with Stanton. You're with her, I'm with Stanton.
I'm with Stanton.
Well, am I with her?
Suspenders for every egg-shaped man.
Why am I getting nailed at? I didn't even know I was about to get into a fight.
All right. Conversations with UFOs either have to begin or end with screaming.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. And speaking of criticism, Meyer does have quite a few detractors in the UFO community, specifically a man named Derek Bartholomew.
Oh, Bartholomew. Now I really feel like I'm at family dinner. I actually do have flashbacks to my gay brothers and my evangelical parents screaming at each other about orientation, and I just want to eat a fucking terribly cooked steak.
Yeah, Derek Bartholomew is a member of the Independent Investigations Group, and Bartholomew is particularly...
It is so independent, it's like he's the only one.
Super independent.
Yeah, Bartholomew is particularly critical of the organization that Billy founded way back in 1975, the Freie Interessengemeinschaft für Grins und Geisteswissenschaften und Ufology Studien.
You just broke podcasts.
No,
all of Sweden just shut it off.
That's not Swedish, that's German.
That was German.
No,
that was
yeah,
good.
It's good. Yeah, Freie Interessengemeinschaft für Grinse und Geisteswissenschaften und Ufology Studien. That's the free community of interests for fringe and spiritual scientists and ufology, otherwise known as FIGU.
I wish that this was the live stream so people could see my face.
Yes,
the disgust.
Just like the grimace just like slowly forming. You're getting like new wrinkles.
Yeah.
Because
oh my
of
God.
The,
oh,
the
yes.
live stream what? And this podcast.
I have, these last 5 years, I've aged, you know, like someone who is, you know, like a Sherpa.
But this is, I know that this man's obviously a nerd. But he's a good nerd, and he's trying our best. But how...
Billy Meyer?
No. Technically, Billy Meyer's the cool nerd half of this, because he gets to make all of this shit up. This is just
Who's
the man...
Who's the nerd that you're talking about?
Bartholomew is just the man who is mad at another nerd so much
okay.
that he has to nerd out at him even deeper.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
He bought... Bartholomew, he went. He learned how to make websites. He bought the domain BillyMeyerUFOCase.com. He put together all of the information. He got into email spats with Billy Meyer's PR guy, which we'll get to here in just a second.
Okay.
But his biggest criticism was of FIGU. Here's how FIGU works.
How do you spell that?
FIGU.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Freie
We know what it is.
Oh, yes. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, membership is a two-step process. First, you need to be a passive member for at least 2 years.
I had a passive member for 2 years. It was my first 2 years living in New York.
No one looked at it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
This requires a $98 subscription to their quarterly newsletter, an annual membership fee of $39, a one-time application fee of $39, and a mandatory annual contribution of 7% of 1 month's salary. A passive member is also required to work 3 full days annually at the Figu Center in Switzerland. Which is his house.
Yes.
To remain a passive member in good standing. And if you're not able to work the full 3 days, you can pay $91 per day, or you can pay $274 for all three, which means that you're paying $91 per day for all those 3 days, plus a $1 surcharge.
I'm extremely confused. So it's 7% of your 1 month paycheck.
7% of 1 month salary.
And with that, mm-hmm. you're able to go clean his toilets.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're...
Well, you're probably cleaning his yarn.
Actually, you're not. It's not that you can clean his toilets; it's that you're forced to clean his toilets.
This is like Fight Club for fucking dickheads.
Yes,
I mean, at least in Fight Club, you got to scruff around and get drunk and do drugs.
It's smelly Scientology.
It is.
Yeah, you also have to attend at least one annual passive group general assembly at Figu in Switzerland, which that all total in order to be a passive member. It's $450 a year.
But it seems like you're very active. How are you actively passive as a member? I don't get the term.
Well, let me get into an active member.
Active members, you have to literally suck Billy's dick.
Well, that would be a little bit more active.
Yeah, now, naturally, someone with an organization this large is going to
How large is it?
There's got to be, I don't know, I would guess a few hundred at
okay.
the very least.
All right,
you know?
Good for him.
Rent money.
Sure.
But if you've got an organization like this, then you're going to need a PR guy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy's guy is a dude named Michael Horn.
Now, Michael Horn is an obvious piece of shit who kind of gets involved in this whole thing by putting himself in there. He's intrigued by the Wendell Stevens investigations. He starts taking over the Billy Meyer entire, like his empire and all the communications because Billy gets so frustrated when anybody challenges him. He doesn't like talking to me. He doesn't understand why no one will just come to Switzerland and talk to him face to face. That's how he thinks the only way a proper man would criticize his work. So he sends Michael Horn out into the world to be his little, like, his little...
Well, I think of him as sort of a campaign manager, like a David Axelrod or a Steve Bannon, something like that.
He's a surrogate.
But what he is doing is that he set up Figu in order for Billy to make money, and then what he also is trying to do, he comes on all of these weird little paranormal shows. I've watched 5 interviews with Michael Horn, and he keeps saying the same thing. He does not answer questions you do ask him. You'll ask him a question, and then he immediately jumps to this whole thing. He's like, everybody wants to talk about these photos like it's the only thing that matters. When it comes down to it, UFOs are only a small part of the story. The real story is Billy's philosophical teachings, which is why you need to join Figu, because you get all of his books with all of that, and you go to this Swiss compound, and you listen to him talk about his various philosophies, and that's what what you're really trying to get in. But at this point, UFOs are not even important.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it's
close
about
to giving
Billy's
a nerd
teaching.
Alert right now.
No,
but
that's what it is. That's literally how he is.
Right,
he's pivoting it to like, oh no, this UFO stuff. Yes, like everybody's saying that all of this stuff is fake.
Right,
but it's actually more about the man.
And just judging by your accent, is he an acidic MTA worker?
That's his spirit.
Oh, I see.
Well, Michael also claims to have won the Independent Investigation Group's $50,000 paranormal challenge.
Oh,
yeah, the challenge can be won by anyone who can prove in a controlled setting that they have extra normal abilities.
That is, and of course, can you imagine him having to sell his house?
Oh my
to
God.
Pay that $50,000.
I immediately thought of Mark Summers from Double Dare and then the great show Unwrapped hosting this entire event.
No, the whole thing is hosted by Derek Bartholomew.
Oh, yeah. Get Mark Summers.
Yeah, and Bartholomew said that at no time has Horn or Billy Meyer ever even submitted even an application for the challenge, much less won it. But Bartholomew seems to be the least of the enemies that Billy has made in his life.
Mm.
This is what he has to say to and about his quote-unquote enemy.
My enemies are jealous of my contacts with the Pleiadians and feel they would have been a far superior contact person in comparison to me. These enemies do not consider that my contacts have not only entailed fame, for which they are lasting with all of their egos, but also serious problems, e.g. altogether 13 assassination attempts which have been led against me.
I love it. You didn't go into Jamaican. You did go into Cartman, but that was a great accent.
I'm trying my best with new accents.
You're doing great.
But it's true. Yeah. So he's saying there's pressure. Who would want this pressure?
Yeah. And did you hear that correct? 13 assassination attempts.
13.
And that was in 1998. By 2011, Billy had 22 unsuccessful assassination attempts.
Now, what do these assassination attempts look like? Were they guns? Was it an archer in a tree?
People coughing near him. They're trying to get me to Super Yates.
It's everything that you can possibly imagine. In the year that the statement was made, two attempts occurred on consecutive days. The first attempt was by gun, in which an assassin took a shot at Billy's head with a .22 and missed. Only 28 and a half hours later, another assassin, or possibly the same assassin, tried killing Billy with a throwing knife. But thankfully, the knife was cheap, and Billy was only hit by the handle.
And that's what happens when you send Crocodile Dundee to go and do a job.
I also think he's the middle of the Scandinavian forest. There's hunters everywhere.
There are hunters everywhere. But again, these would be acts that would be, registered with the local police department. Is there any documentation that this stuff existed?
No, he just kind of lets it slide.
It's so bigger than the government. Bigger than them.
A man aims a gun at your face and he shoots a bullet. You don't call the police after that.
Well, why would you call the police when it's the police that are in on it?
Because
when
I don't
it's
think
the governments of the world that are in on it. The threats are coming from within and without. The threats are coming from the governments here on Earth that are actually wanting to keep all of the Pleiaren knowledge away from us because it will bring us up to a higher point of understanding, and the governments of the world don't want that. They don't want to have us all together. Yeah. They want us to be on our Facebooks and our Twitters. And our Instagrammers.
And our Instagramming
they
things.
They want us to be drinking Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah. And having Pop Rocks for dinner, yeah.
Well, they want those to be poisoning us. They don't want us to have apples.
They don't want us
to have apples at all. They don't want us to have the Billy Meyer apples. All they want is for us to be slaves, and that is why people like Billy Meyer have assassination attempts, because you're complicit, Ben.
And that's why I smoke weed, and that makes me free.
All I can think about is the person at Billy Meyer, the passive member at Billy Meyer's house, licking the dishes clean. That's the only thing I can think about.
Do you think maybe we could take some of the fund? I know I'm putting money in the fund. Yeah. Could we get some sponges? Or
Open your mouth. You see that? What do we call that? That's the sponge.
Oh, my tongue?
Yeah, your tongue is the sponge.
Yeah, and they just think he's not just getting the threats from Earth, he's also getting the threats from extraterrestrials as well. Particularly the extraterrestrial rebel and criminal Arusayak, aka Ashtar Sharon, who was killed in 1983 when he attacked Ashket's people in the Doll universe.
Oh.
Now, Billy doesn't tell the full story, but
because he didn't think of it yet.
But believe you me, I bet that shit was intense.
He's got some ideas for it.
Yeah, what are some of the ideas?
I don't know. It's...
Well, he seems like he has the sounds for it.
You are my father. I am your father.
No! I'm dark side. Compels you.
Star Wars.
What?
That's Star Wars.
But the thing is, he didn't want to. He wrote the script for Star Wars, but he didn't want to con and say that he did it until after the movie.
So he didn't want to be attached to a multi-billion-dollar industry.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, I see.
So let's end.
That's the thing. Why would we want to shut down the message of the Plagiarians when it's
Polarians.
Sweet and it's good Polarians. And it's good for, all society? Right? It's why would you want to shut down a man like Billy? He can't possibly have a bunch of, really weird, edgy, fucked up opinions that kind of get saddled in the middle of conscious ascending fucking advice.
Hey, man, may I please quote Megadeth?
Of course.
Peace sells, but nobody's buying.
Yeah, dude.
Killing is my business, and business is good.
Yeah.
Cool.
So let's end today's episode on one of Meyer's more controversial opinions.
What do you mean?
Namely, his intense lifelong homophobia.
Oh, I knew he was an alt writer.
He's one of those guys who really likes the word degenerate. He claims in one of his prophecies that AIDS will become an epidemic that will eventually wipe out mankind should we leave it unchecked. And naturally, this is all the fault of, quote,
degenerate homosexuals practicing sodomy with long-tailed monkeys.
this one-handed motherfucker who believes in aliens and is a total scam artist has the audacity to come against gay people?
Yes, he does. He hates gay people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not even the Playarans, he says, have a cure for AIDS. And he also says that it is a distinctly earthbound virus, as it also seems like homosexuality is a distinctly earthbound phenomenon, which would be weird. Because that would make us one out of 40,353,607 races that are into that. Like, we're the only ones that figured out gay stuff.
Everyone is fucking every hole they can.
Everything that exists on in every dimension is fucking whatever it is they want to fuck. That's what they do. Everybody does it. You feel what you got. You feel what you feel.
Yeah, my mind is flipping to Able Against Top Hat mode, and I want to get political with it. But this is really upsetting, and Billy Meier is a scam artist and a liar.
Yeah, he's a dickhead. Billy Meier's awful. Team Friedman. But Billy says it's only going to get worse from here if we don't seize our degenerate ways. This is him explaining how to steer clear of this deadly disease.
With hand gratings, the hands should be promptly cleaned, and gratings with the kiss and the like should be completely omitted, as well as physical contacts of all kinds. Up to the unlawful bad habit of the Earth's people in maintaining frequent sexual relations with other people without it concerning their actual own partners. A bad habit that is as contrary to nature is sodomy, which in the first form as likewise produces its consequences through Caribbean herpes, which is a mutated and degenerated form of the globally spread genital herpes. Also, Caribbean herpes, or the American named herpes, is a degenerative disease of incurable form and has already been explained, but in the coming time, it will continue to degenerate and become as deadly as the AIDS epidemic if the Earth doesn't immediately order us stop to his sexual degeneracy. Blah.
Magic Johnson alone beat AIDS. And he was sweating all over a bunch of people while he had AIDS, and they did not get AIDS. This man, he doesn't understand his science.
He also is a sexless individual, and he does not believe, he believes in sex for procreation.
Yeah, and he says that it pretty much comes down to, if we don't stop fucking each other like we're fucking each other, we're all going to get taken down by Caribbean herpes.
I'll take
it. Texas just passed a law where they don't want to give same-sex couples the same rights, the tax breaks, because they don't procreate, and the whole point of the tax break is for procreation. Now I'm getting upset.
I'm mad.
We got to wrap this episode up.
These people
up
are fucking
soon.
Idiots. You know what I will say again about Billy Meier, right, is that it's a troubled UFO topic, not unlike Roswell, where it's like been debunked and attacked and all this stuff. It's like, I don't believe a word that Billy Meier says, but I do believe in contact with alien entities. I do believe that is real. I believe it is a personal psychic experience. I do believe it has a physical phenomenon. I believe that the American government probably has found weird things in the desert that have crashed and possibly bodies, and they don't know what it is, and they don't know what to tell us what it is.
And we did have that story recently now with the sounds coming from space, right, Henry?
And that is a very interesting story.
And what is that
story? No one really knows. It's apparently it's a radio. It seems like it's a radio frequency that comes from an area of the galaxy right near us that has one of the exoplanets. That is a planet that's not unlike Earth. And it's the same thing when they said they possibly found the megastructure.
It's a Russian military satellite.
It is a Russian military
satellite.
That's
what they're saying? Russians are aliens? We got to destroy the Russians right now.
I'll also say, very convenient. If you want to get double, I'll deny everything until I'm literally raving mad in an insane asylum.
I know. I feel like everyone's getting pretty upset at this point of the show.
I'm just saying, remember, the aliens are, as far as I'm concerned, they're real. And UFOs are a phenomenon that we do not understand, and we should not stop attempting to understand them. Billy Meier's homophobia aside.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing about Billy Meier, the con artist, is then we can take seriously the individuals who aren't.
You need to have the lie
before you can find the truth.
It's bad for, it's bad for it to take legitimacy, because then Billy Meier pops up to the top. Look up UFOs, you've got a Santa Claus looking man. Oh, he seems really nice. What did he say about what?
All right, is that it on Billy Meier?
That's it on Billy Meier. That's all we got, man. I mean,
that's all there is. I can put the link to the 25 YouTube videos of each an hour and a half long, the entire his entire contact reports. It's long.
It's very long.
Yeah, and did you watch all 25 of those?
I just watched the first two.
And how's the relationship? All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. What a wonderful, informative episode it was, all about this man, Billy Meyer. I had no idea.
It was informative.
It was informative.
We definitely spoke for an hour and 20 minutes.
I think it was another great episode of The Last Podcast on the Left.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone. I got drunk the other night and the night before, and I will tonight.
For the last 18 years.
Like that. Yeah, pretty much every night. But I went through some of the iTunes comments, and there were some that were negative, but the vast majority were extremely positive. And everyone, except for the one that said, get rid of Ben. I thought that was kind of mean-spirited. But really, the message
is... He is crying. He is openly crying.
No, I'm not crying about it.
Play out. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, but or yes, do nothing. I don't know what to tell you.
But we have been doing so well on iTunes, and it really is a credit to you guys, the listeners, and it really means a lot. I mean, being in the top five, which we were all week, I mean, we're really with some people, with some programs that are extremely... positioned to be there by huge companies and huge corporations that are funded by massive, individuals like Rupert Murdoch and people like that. The fact that we've been able to do this podcast alone, just us, with the brain power and the comic abilities, is really it's a testament to how unbelievable your research is, Marcus, and to how great you guys are as fans and gals are as fans. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Like, this is just the only reason why we got to this point was because all you guys out there heard us, thought we were cool, and told your friends about it, and that's it. We never got any press, we never got any kind of push. Like, it's just because you guys think we're cool, and we think you're cool.
So you keep listening, and we're going to keep delivering the same level of a very technically devoted content every week.
And we're going to be still going to be doing our live stream, Last Stream on the Left, every Friday at 7:30. We're still going to keep coming out and doing live shows all over this country, all over the fucking world. Go to Last Podcast or go to CaveComedyRadio.com/live to find tickets for all of our upcoming shows, including Seattle and Portland in December and Washington, D.C. in October. We're going to keep doing all this shit, and the only reason why we were able to start doing it in the first place is because you gave to our Patreon page. You can go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. If you want to give there, if you only give a dollar, if every one of you guys gave a dollar, it'd be fucking fantastic.
It would be amazing.
But you can give whatever you feel like we deserve. Please. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you guys, everything, for all your support.
And thank you for supporting all the shows. Speaking of iTunes, Abelian's Top Hat is 5 spots away from beating Glenn Beck. We were so close this week, and we will get him soon. So listen to Abelian's Top Hat for politics, Roundtable of Gentlemen for just drunken good times with your friends, Page 7 for all your entertainment needs, Sex and Other Human Activities if you want to hear Marcus talk about his dong. And
I mostly talk about my brain.
I thought that was your dong.
That's worse. I'd rather you talk about your dong.
I know. That's why that show is so... It makes me feel bad. But I love the show. And, of course, the Lucky Bone Show for all your music needs.
Mixcloud.com/Marcus Parks.
And find us on Twitter. I'm at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel.
Yep, Ben Kissel.
And also on Instagram, I'm at Dr. Fantasty, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel 1.
Just one.
And you can find us on both for Last Podcast on the Left at LP on the Left. Check us out. Hail Satan, you fuckers.
Hail yourselves.
Yeah, go out there and teach people about aliens. Grab them on the street. Tell them everything that you know. And don't let them leave your home until they sign an affidavit agreeing with what you said.
He did just tell you to commit 3 felonies, so don't do that.
Do what you have to do. Do what you have to do.
Hail Gein, everyone. And may Goose
delicious. Hail me.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big.